Good morning and welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Well, good morning, good morning. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us today. It's Thursday. We march forward to the weekend. If you're in the St. Louis metro area, let me tell you just read the weather forecast for you. Things are going to change overnight. It's going to be fall when you wake up in the morning. So enjoy this little bit of Indian summer here in this early part of October, as the weather today is going to be very... I don't know what it's like up in Minnesota. I would hope it is as nice up there in Fergus Falls as it is here in St. Louis. How are you doing, Pastor Dieterding? Good to hear you again.
Doing very well, thank you. Actually, it's been snowing up here, so...
Seriously.
A blast of winter already come down on us.
Seriously, it's been snowing?
We woke up to snow this morning, just a little bit of flakes here. Fargo's actually getting bombarded right now, but it's all wet, and it's not going to last long, so we're hoping that we'll get up to the, hopefully the upper 30s, lower 40s a little bit later on today. So.
You know, and the Bible study is supposed to be a joyous program, and this is the news you bring. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be refereeing a couple soccer games in this later on today, so with it, they don't stop their life up here when it snows.
Yeah, that's the thing about soccer. Real men play soccer because they don't have to move that game indoors. They play regardless of what the weather is.
No matter what the weather is. So.
Pastor Curtis Dieterding serves at Trinity Lutheran Church, as I mentioned, in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. You've been in ministry how long now?
Just over 25 years.
Wow.
It surely doesn't seem that way, I'll tell you. It's just, the Lord has truly blessed me along the way to enjoy a lot of different blessings, really. I mean, with the various congregations that I've served, it's just been an absolute joy.
Well, if you would start with prayer. We don't have much text today, but...
I noticed that.
It's going to be tough getting through this, I think.
I think we'll have plenty to talk about.
A thing or two, yeah. We'll have to pray about that. Go ahead.
Gracious Lord, as we again approach your word and as your word comes to us, we pray that your spirit would continue to guide and to lead us to know what it means to live together as your disciples, to live together as your people, disciplined by your word, to live our lives in Christian charity from day to day, in a fellowship that truly enjoys all the blessings that you give to us through your word and through the sacraments. Continue now to bless us with a special portion of your spirit as we together study your word. And we ask all of these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our dear Savior. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also reach us by way of email, kfuo@kfuo.org. And I've actually drug my iPad into the studio this morning, so if you want to get on Facebook and look me up, you can even send a question by way of Facebook to us. And, well, you know how to do that if you're on that Facebook. Are you a Facebooker, Pastor?
Oh, it's rare. I'm sure people that try to get me to get on there are very frustrated with me because I check it maybe once a month. Sometimes it's even as long as a couple of months. So it's not a good communication tool for me, but it's a great tool though to discover people from your past that you haven't seen for a while, to see how things are going in their life and how the Lord has blessed them, and it gives you an opportunity to be able to pray for people that are also hitting some difficult times in their life as well, and giving thanks to God for the good times and asking Him for help in those times where we struggle a little bit. So.
Yeah, I find it sort of a novelty to have one of these iPads. And I get on Facebook occasionally because there are some folks like to follow the program. And, I just put the phone number up, the 800 number on Facebook. But this thing is turning out to be community now. And this is part of what our text in Acts chapter 2, we're going to go verses 42 to 47, where it talks about the early church and how they're forming community. And it seems that today with technology, I don't know if community is the same thing as it used to be. What do you think, Pastor?
Yeah, it's not even though they call it Facebook, it's not face-to-face. I mean, you're not there in person in your communication. And, sometimes we lose things in that communication. I know that people have talked to me in the past about how they, they've shared things either on Facebook, Twitter, email, And then somebody will write back, and they've taken them completely out of context, completely wrong as far as what they had said. Some cases are very offended. And it's really interesting, because if you would have probably talked to that person face-to-face, you would have seen their body language and probably not taken any offense whatsoever, whatever it was that they said. So,
yeah, yeah.
And it's just interesting, because it is a little bit, it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to communicate sometimes with the word, but yet for some of us too. I mean, we actually can communicate better and actually get our ideas and thoughts out on paper without being interrupted by anybody, or on paper, on the electronic.
Yeah. Well, look at verse 42, and then tell me if these things in verse 42 can be translated into an electronic community.
Okay.
It begins, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Well, perhaps one of those might translate into the electronic age, but what about the other three?
Yeah, this is really, this is something that when I was working through my Doctor of Ministry program, we had talked about technology and the use of it, the positives and the negatives, and it came up in class, can you consecrate the elements via the media? can you get on the internet, and you get on I'm trying to remember the name of that communication where you're actually on video with someone at the same time.
FaceTime, I think, is what Apple calls it.
Skype.
That's another version.
So, can you get on Skype, and then they can have the elements there that you can actually see on the screen, and you can actually consecrate those elements, and then they can just take it while you're talking to them. Now, these questions actually came up in class, and that was very much frowned upon, because we weren't present together with a community. But the question is, well, we have shut-in calls, and wouldn't it make it a lot easier just to Skype your shut-in? and it's just been frowned upon, because it is not the same. There is something lost in the fact that we're not there physically present, especially as we're enjoying the very physical presence of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine, with his body and blood there. So, I mean, it's just, it's really caused us to really think about how we are fellowshipping with one another and, living together in the body of Christ.
Well, we're going to have to define those terms, because they're being redefined today. If you read anything about new church, emergent church, whatever they're calling it this week, whatever the marketing term is for it, I don't know. But they seem to be pushing in this direction that traditional communities, traditional fellowship doesn't mean anything anymore. You can recreate it in your own image. I think really, I don't want to sound cruel, but I think people are basically lazy. They want to just do as little as possible, but yet feel good about what they've accomplished. So if you want to call yourself a Christian, so you go to church in your underwear on Sunday morning, sitting there with your iPad in your lap.
It is interesting, though. I think it's a redistribution of our time. I'm not sure if it's being lazy so much as it is, just finding different ways to receive, God's word. I think what we lose is the fact that this idea of fellowship is the gathering together of the community. And surely that isn't happening together in the electronic world, except for, I guess, whenever you get on Facebook, or you get on some of these instant messaging programs where you can have several people on there. But to get an entire congregation, an entire community together, even those who use it for conference calling. I know we've been going through this with, I'm the president of our Fergus Falls Youth Soccer Association, and the presidents of the Minnesota Youth Soccer Association across the state, every once in a while we get on the phone in conference. And it has been said of this last year, it's not the same, guys. We can't. The communication's much slower, because everybody has to one guy at a time. You've got to, and you do that. You do that in face-to-face contact, but you can actually see each other and respect one another as somebody has something to say. And it's really interesting, because it's not the same. And so now we're getting back together again as presidents in person because it just wasn't the same, you know, technologically speaking.
Well, explain what fellowship is, because there's a physicality to it where we're all coming together in the same place, or at least some of us are. But is fellowship, again, one of those abused words today, is it about coffee and donuts after service on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. We call it our fellowship hour.
Yeah, but is that fellowship?
Our half hour. And, yeah, it's...
I mean, when you look at Acts here, that's what I'm trying to compare what we do now to what they're doing here in Acts.
Well, of course there is fellowshipping around food and in different ways. I mean, we can fellowship in a variety of ways, physically speaking. I mean, coming together. But in the Scripture, when we hear fellowship, we know that there's another dimension to it, it's talking about the spiritual fellowship, coming together and, worshiping, praising our Lord and gathering in that kind of fellowship to enjoy an agape relationship with one another, the kind of brotherly type love that we have for one another because of Christ. And so there is a deeper dimension when we hear it, especially in this context here, as it's being attached with other things like breaking of bread and prayers and so forth.
The fellowship, is that strictly sort of in a sanctification way, just what we do with each other, or is there more to? Is there another component to fellowship that we're missing?
Well, I believe that what they were going through is they were growing in their relationship as members in the body of Christ, and so they would grow in what they were actually saying here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship to the breaking of bread. The fellowship is developed through that teaching, just being in awe at the feet of the apostles who are teaching them so that they can learn. You got to remember, they don't have the Bible. I shouldn't say that. The New Testament at part of the Bible. So they're really listening to everything orally. They're receiving it right there, firsthand witnesses that were there and saw all these things that their Savior had done, had taught, had said. So, I mean, that is pretty awesome, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great to be able to sit at the feet of the apostles and to be in a fellowship where you're growing together in the Word of God, where you're growing together in the sacraments that Christ asked us to grow in as one unit. And, of course, Paul, you know, expounds on all of that fellowship as far as the unity that we have and the bond of peace and the Holy Spirit and all of those things.
But does fellowship also require a common-mindedness, if you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, that's part of what I'm talking about with Paul. You know, if you looked in Philippians chapter 2, I think it puts it very well there as far as, the unity is in the Spirit there and how we actually live and work together in our service. I mean, if you look at the beginning of Philippians 2, for example, it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of, and here's what you're saying, of the same mind,
yeah,
having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. You know, it says it there again.
So if you want to believe what you want to believe about Jesus and what I want to believe, and if those two things don't necessarily comport one with another, can we have fellowship?
Well, it makes it a lot more difficult to have fellowship. I mean, one of the things that we truly do stress here in our church body, because of what the Scripture teaches about the importance of being one in our faith, one in our mind, one in the Spirit, we translate and have translated it as it's been historically translated to mean that, you know, we believe pretty much the same on all of the doctrines of the Scripture. And so it's very important to us that our fellowship or our oneness is based upon what we believe. In fact, for our worship with other denominations, and I'm talking about strictly other Lutheran denominations, because we would not be in fellowship with anyone outside the Lutheran church, but we actually call that pulpit and altar fellowship. When another church body actually believes and confesses and teaches all the doctrines that we teach and confess in the same way. If there were any jumping off points, We would need to actually iron those out as to what the Scripture is truly saying to us to actually be in fellowship with that particular church body. So that's it's always interesting there, that, but what we call that fellowship, and that fellowship is based on what's going to come out of that pulpit, what's going to be preached, and what is it that we truly believe God is telling us in His Word about this sacrament of Holy Communion and baptism.
Pastor Curtis Dieterding is our guest this morning. We're wrapping up Acts chapter 2. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Joe, good morning. You're up first today. What's your question?
Comment. When you're talking about the Skype or whatever, and I was thinking how God can have community and fellowship with us all at the same time, all His people, because of His omnipresence, which is unique to God. And how, by doing that, it may kind of shadow that attribute of God if the pastor is kind of in so many different places at once. I know that's not the same thing, but I guess just the tendency, we always want to make a great big man and a little bitty God is where we want to go in our sinfulness.
Oh, yeah.
And how, just as one aspect of this, it would be a danger, I think, that, you know, we want to pretend that we can do that too, and it's kind of a faux omnipresence, I guess.
What do you think, Pastor?
Anyway, I'm trying to make the connection between what Joe's talking about as far as Skype and what he's saying about God's omnipresence.
The pastor could be in so many houses at the same time through that technology.
Okay.
And how God truly is with all of us in worship at the same time. Because of His omnipresence. And
so you're saying that you wouldn't have any difficulty with a pastor who actually is consecrating bread and wine at various places through Skype. Is that what I'm understanding?
No, I do. That's what when you were talking about that, I was thinking, well, Jesus actually does come to all of us
mm-hmm.
at the same time in different places, whereas it'd be a real poor imitation through Skype, and that I disagree with that. We're trying to imitate through technology. We're trying to imitate God's omnipresence.
Gotcha.
We're trying to be as ubiquitous as God is by way of technology, which is, I guess, a first commandment thing, right, Joe?
Yeah, and I guess I see a lot of things in our society where we try to replace God's attributes with technology and say,
yeah.
Well, we can do that too. And I'm just—I'm not saying that this is the case, and everybody that's doing this. I'm just saying it seems like a dangerous direction to go.
That's a very interesting point. I had never really thought of that before. Obviously there are some really horrendous things that are happening in our technology, and yet there are some things that have been a real benefit to us as well. But I hear what you're saying. You're saying that technology is moving in a direction that it. Like we've got the Google God, you know, everybody Googles, and that's the answer, that's the truth, and you know, so yeah, am I on the right track with you there, Joe?
Yeah, that when you were talking about the, you know, consecrating the sacrament, that's
sure.
What it occurred to me that Jesus truly is in all these churches at the same time
on
Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
but the pastor's not. It's
right.
An image that is just, it's not the same thing, and I think that our tendency as a culture is to buy into this stuff. If it's in the right context, the technology could be a great service, but I'm not sure that everybody out there participating in this would really still understand. I'm afraid that there'd be a subconscious connection that, well, the pastor's all these places at one time. Mm-hmm. He can do that. And no, he can't. He can't do that.
Well, that was the point of what I was bringing up about this verse 42, is that there's a locus for what we do. There's a commonality,
yeah.
A physical presence where we come together to achieve these things. Now, you can do some of these by way of technology, Joe, but some
sure.
Some you just can't.
Right, or just to be careful that we don't take away, so we don't reduce God as the only one that has these, you know, God is God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's a tool too. If you think about
right.
it, I got to be careful how I point a finger here, because some 88 years ago, a bunch of Lutherans got together and said, "Let's buy a radio station," and everybody said, "Are you nuts? What do you do with a radio station?"
Yeah, glad they did.
And then here we are. So it's a tool like any other, I guess. It's kind of like a firearm where I can defend my family, provide for my family, or I can murder my neighbor. It's not the tool itself.
Right.
Joe, thanks for the call this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an interesting insight, what he's talking about.
We just abuse all of God's good gifts. So can we agree on that?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is. And, you know, but, you know, there's some truth to the fact that man is continually progressing in such a way that there are a lot of men that are advancing and believe that they've eliminated God. We don't need a God. You know, we are advancing to the point that... you know, we can do it all. So, you know, it's just interesting. I know there's just a lot of conversation we can have in that whole area, but obviously KFUO is a media that truly has been an absolute blessing that God has used to spread the good news of Christ Jesus.
But you know, today, when you think about it, Pastor Dieterding, so many parts of the church, I'm speaking very broadly, they're trending away from what you're talking about, and that's from teaching doctrine and focusing more on, you know, acts of service and image. We've talked about how some churches, non-denominational ones, will cancel Sunday worship services, and they'll send their people out in the community to go pick up trash in a park someplace because they want to break that image, you know, what Christians are like.
It's a whole other activity of the Christian life, but it's like... Are we trying to teach our people, you know, to do, you know, acts of service on a Sunday morning instead of gathering together as God wants us to as a community to actually give Him thanks and praise and to have Him actually continue to work on us in His Word and in the sacraments as He's asked us to gather together? To remember the Sabbath day is taking on different dimensions whenever you start going out and doing a servant event somewhere in your community rather than gathering together to meditate and to congregate and give thanks collectively as God's people. That was the intent of what that day of the week was about. By keeping it holy meant to hear the Word of God, to hold it sacred. And, of course, the argument is that well, we're living out the Word of God, you know, as we're serving other people. But, again, the focus is on us. And, I'm not knocking those people that have done this. I'm just saying think about what it is that God has asked us to do. I'm not saying the act is not a good thing, because it is. And it is part of what God wants us to be and do. But we need to understand, too, what does that commandment mean for us, and why is God asking us to gather together as a community? It's so that we can hear His Word, that we can gladly hear and learn it, as Luther would say. And then we take and live that Word out in our lives. Do it after you've congregated and enjoyed God's blessing again. Go on out after that, then. Take the Sunday school hour and do it, you know.
With about a minute before we go to the break, Pastor Dieterding, why do you think doctrine and dogma have essentially become dirty words in some parts of the church?
Because it continually contains law. We hate that. And we're going to continue to fight it and buck it all the way. So, and that, it just sounds, it's the thing that reminds us of who we are again. And we need to be reminded of that so that we can enjoy all that God has to give to us in Christ.
So if you're looking for the fundamental components of the church, it's the apostles' teaching, it's fellowship, it's breaking of bread, and it's prayer.
Absolutely.
Without any one of those four things, you do not have a church.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are the things that happen in church. In fact, we were just covering the third commandment yesterday in confirmation, and we talked about what are the major parts of the service, and these hit them right on. I mean, this is a great verse to use as a foundation of what church is.
Pastor Curtis Dieterding is our guest this morning. We're wrapping up Acts chapter 2. Why don't you join us during the break? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. When we get back, Pastor Dieterding, let's take a look at the church. Is it a human institution? Is it more? Do people join the church like they join an auto club, or is there something different? And then your phone calls as well. Larry, you'll be up first when we get back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Stick around. Welcome back to the Bible study. We're wrapping up Acts chapter 2 with Pastor Curtis Dieter. He serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, where, as we found out a few moments ago, the snow has already begun. Well, it's not even, fall isn't even over yet, and it's snowing. And
Well, it's been over for us.
Well, true. Join us, 505-7850-1800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. And if you happen to use Facebook, I'm online right now. You can contact us by way of Facebook as well. As I went to the break, Pastor Dieterding, I talked about, is the church a human institution or is it more? And when you talk about people joining the church, it doesn't really seem like you join the church like you join the auto club. Why don't you get those two real quick, and then we'll go to Larry's call when you finish answering.
Well, when it comes to, is it a human institution, there are aspects of the actual, worship service that has been designed. As far as, the order of service, that order does not come directly from the Scripture in that exact order, but we do learn from the way in which the Old Testament people worshipped. That carried over. You got to remember here, some of the first people that were converted over to Christianity were Jewish people there at the Day of Pentecost. That group of people, the majority of that group, if not all, would have been Jewish. So they already knew how to worship, and we're going to also hear that too as we're reading through this. That they attended the temple. And they were still going to the temple to worship, but now the worship was changing because God has revealed to His people the Messiah. They were cut to the heart, and they said, "What should we do?" Because they had just heard that they're the ones who had put to death the one that God had sent, and so from there, the church began to develop an order of service. In fact, we still use a lot of that order that was developed over the centuries in our worship services even today. I think people would have a greater appreciation for our old-fashioned, outdated, ancient service if they understood why the service is designed the way it is. Beginning with it opens up with the fact that we're all gathered together as baptized children of God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You move to confessing our sins and receiving God's absolution, because that's where we were faced by the law of God, that we discovered we were sinners, and it moves to the Word, it moves to the meal, it moves to a blessing leaving. I mean, there's a reason for everything that's in the worship service. One of the best presentations I think I've ever heard on this has been by Dr. Arthur Just, and he has a video series out called Liturgy: Yesterday, Today, and Forever.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's so awesome. He talks about the influence of some of the secular things that were going on in the world as Christianity was beginning, and how it influenced some of the way in which we actually do worship. And so, I think if one is really interested in how that develops, he's got such a lot of rich history that he brings into that. And
I think that's based on his book Heaven on Earth.
Yes,
which is available, I think, from CPH.
Yeah, and so it's really, it's very, very well done, and I think it helps us together learn why we worship the way in which we do.
And look at this, verse 43. When these four things are present, what happens? And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's go to the phones. Larry, good morning. You're up.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
You were talking about the mission of the church. We get a little, a little newsletter here in the community I live in North County, and churches are free to advertise. And I cut out two of these, and I'm not going to mention the church bodies nor names, but the first one says, very short church service at 11 a.m., individual blessings until 1 o'clock p.m. on the middle of the parking lot. They're talking about the blessing of the pets. So they're going to cut the worship service short so you can bring your pet up there. And what actually happens when you bless a pet, Pastor? I have no idea.
Does he quit going
in the neighbor's yard or what?
I've never actually participated in the blessing of a pet. I know that there have been people that have done that. I just, again, it's just another way in which people put their faith and trust in God to take care of all his creatures, everything that he has created and everything that he's made. I'm not sure what the people are thinking, though. I'm not sure what they're believing concerning this blessing and what that actually means for them. You know, we can bless a lot of different things. In fact, I know in our agenda now that we now have as pastors, there's a lot of different blessings for a lot of different things. A house where, you know, just a lot of different.
Right, but would you cut the worship service short so you could, you know, bless your pet out in the parking
lot?
I don't think so.
No,
right?
No, that's like extra. That's beyond what we do and what we've had, what our order is already that's established in worship. Yeah.
Secondly, there was another one. They have a peanut butter project at this church.
Okay.
And they're trying to get 1,000 pounds of peanut butter donated for a food pantry. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But then it goes on and it talks about someone in the congregation hates peanut butter, and is willing, if they can get this 1,000 pounds of peanut butter, he will eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before the congregation in the church.
Okay. In the worship service.
I know the Bible speaks of being fed, but being fed the Word of God, it amazes me how when I drive around this area, you can almost get an idea of what you probably would hear inside by just what's on these church boards.
Yeah. We've talked about some
of
that.
It is, you know, get your GED here, a karate lessons Tuesday night. I mean, it has nothing to do with the gospel. That's why my wife and I have to drive a certain extra amount of miles, and we are more than glad to do it, to hear a Lutheran pastor, a Lutheran Orthodox pastor, proclaim the Word of God in all its truth and purity, and give the sacraments the way they were instituted by Christ, by the Bible itself. I mean, no wonder people are so confused about what is, you know, you always hear, oh, I go to a Bible-believing church, and then about 10 minutes into the conversation, they don't really adhere to much that's in the Bible. They just kind of, you know, ad lib the Bible. So I was just calling to, you know, kind of throw that out there if you have any comments.
All right, thanks, Larry. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, more and more it seems like things are being substituted for that time that we spend together again. And I also believe that it's part of the perception of what's going on in this worship service, too, that's very confusing. You know, people feel that they need to be doing something for God and that they're praising him and that they're showing him their love for him as though that's what the worship service is fully all about. There is parts of the service where we're doing, where we are responding, but we're responding to that which God is doing to us in that worship service, what he's doing as far as helping us to grow in his word, to feed us with the sacraments, to remind us of his grace and his love for us. It's really in the sense that it's for us. It's not us responding to God only in what it is that we're trying to do. I know that the blessing of the pets, you know, we are asking God to actually be a part of that there, but I'm not, you know, why is that brought into a time and a service where the meditation should be fully upon what God's gifts are to us?
Well, it all depends on whether you have a high or a common view of what worship is. Mm-hmm. And you know, Lutherans, I think, are so accustomed to having a high view of worship that when other groups, other sects of Christianity do something less, we kind of go, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem, you know.
There's nothing wrong with the act or the activity. I mean, with what they're doing, but does it belong where we have been asked to gather together as a community to gladly hear and receive God's word and his blessing?
Yeah, if you're going to bless my pet so that it can be in heaven with me, now we probably got a doctrinal
issue. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, what do people actually believe when they receive the blessing of their pet, what are they actually being,
what are they being
what
taught?
Are they thinking about?
Yeah. Well, speaking about what they're thinking about, I guess really to boil this down, I guess Larry makes a good point here. If a church fails to teach biblical doctrine, is it still a church?
I would say absolutely not, because that's why we're there. That's what brings us together. It is the Word that actually guides and leads us and teaches us how we are to gather together as a community to continue to grow in God's grace.
And that's why we take this stuff so seriously.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's worship is not something that we can just kind of just manipulate any way we want to please ourselves. And think about it. I mean, that's why I understand why some people are bothered by, people that want to perform in church. I understand that, because if that's the reason that you want to be a part of that church is because you enjoy to be some kind of a performer, and there's a lot of different ways we can do that in a worship service, then you're probably slipping away and sliding away from what this whatever's turning into a performance is all about, and that is, are we truly leading that in such a way with a heart that is responding to all that God has given to us?
Hmm.
I would say for the most part, I've seen that in the Lutheran churches that I've been a part of and have visited. I've never really seen the performance part of it in my own heart and mind, but I know how people can actually see that. And there's a concern among us that we're not doing church or having church to appease our nature and to do what it is we want to do in order to say, well, no, this is why I'm here at this church, is because I have an opportunity to be a part of the praise band, or I have an opportunity to be part of the puppet ministry, or I have an opportunity for whatever it might be. And if this church doesn't have something like that, then I'll go to a church that does. And then you start to wonder, so why should we be choosing a church? On what basis should we be choosing a church? On the basis of the entertainment things that really are entertaining to us, at the same time, hopefully, also teaching us and continually bringing God's Word in a way that's maybe a little different, but can still touch our hearts with His grace. I mean, I'm not knocking any of that, but I'm saying if you're choosing it on that basis, you got to ask yourself in your heart, why am I here at this church? Am I here because this church teaches the truth about God's Word, and it truly embraces all that God wants us to be as His people, and especially as a gathering people in fellowship and worship on Sunday or whenever it is that you worship during the week?
Yeah, really what you're talking about is that commendation from Hosea, consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, let's go on to something that's got no controversy whatsoever, and that's verses 44 and following here as we wrap up chapter 2.
Okay.
Verse 44. See if you've heard this in the news lately. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And that concludes chapter 2. Well, I guess to put it in the simplest form I can, was Jesus a socialist, and is the early church some type of proto-collective?
Wow. We're still debating all that, huh?
I guess.
Okay.
Well, if you listen to Jim Wallace from Sojourners, and especially when the debate goes to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and all this sort of thing, the left-of-center Christian groups bring this text up. And perhaps abuse it a bit. I'm not sure. Enlighten me what you think.
Right. Well, there's so many issues and differences about how the political world and the government governs themselves, governs us as a people. And then there's this governing, really, that goes on in the church, too, the way in which we live together and what we agree to abide by as far as coming together and sharing, sharing things with one another. It's done in a different light from a different understanding. With the government, it's more of a human understanding that we're going to have equality so that everybody has a fairness and equality, and that everybody's treated the same. Whereas in the Scripture, we want to help one another, especially as those who have need, because of a heart that believes in what Christ has done and how he has given his all, how he had laid it all out there for us, you know. So the motivation is different in the coming together and having all things in common in this community, because it's one that's motivated by what Christ has done for them, what God has given them. There's a full understanding of that, where, you know, in our society, it's a man making up a lot of different rules about how he believes things should be fair and equal. And, of course, it really can be destructive, actually, to advancement in our world of all the blessing that God wants us to have in this world.
Yeah, and to flip that coin, when you take a look at capitalism, I guess the polar opposite of the socialist model, they say that, you know, I'm talking about like the Jim Wallaces of the world, that capitalism doesn't mandate that you care for your neighbor, and so it's incompatible with being a Christian, and it's only about greed and avarice and taking advantage of people and coveting stuff.
There may be some truth in that, but again, you know, we're talking about two different ways of coming together with all things in common. The all things include the doctrine that you're talking about.
There we go.
So you've got a commonness that's built upon the faith and upon what it is that they believe in, as far as knowing that God is the provider. God is provided even through his Son Christ. It's just not the same thing.
Well, how far do you have to stretch Scripture to take the first century church, the early church in Jerusalem, and try and, you know, apply it to some type of economic system in the contemporary world? And is that what the purpose of Scripture is, to establish what is right and wrong commerce?
You know, if we all just kind of look at what's going on in the context of what's happened here, yeah. I mean, these people have just received the word. They are absolutely excited about the freedom now that they have experienced in Christ Jesus and what it means to live as one who is forgiven, one who is receiving the greatest gift that you can ever imagine, and that is eternal life with one who loves you so much that he gave his life up for you. I mean, this changed the lives. These people are hearing this as adult people, and they haven't had the opportunity to grow up in this faith as a lot of us have. So we don't have that same moment where we're like, oh wow, you know, and so they were compelled by what this gospel means for them, even in how they lived with one another. And so there's a real motivation here that's just absolutely powerful, that's pushing them together to be together in wanting to stay together in this wonderful word that they're hearing.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Wrapping up the book of Acts, chapter 2, with our friend Pastor Curtis Dieterding. Let's go back to the phones very quickly here, Pastor, and talk with Bob. You're up next. Good morning.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor. Hope you're enjoying the snow up there in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying it up there in Minnesota, too. I don't want it.
It's very wet.
I've lived up there, and so I know what the snow is like. What I wanted to comment on was socialism versus capitalism. The reason that socialism doesn't work is because it's built on an ideal that is impossible. Built on an ideal that man is good. So capitalism works because it is built on a philosophy of man is sinful and will do what is best for him. And that's why capitalism works, because man is sinful. We are all sinful. Mm-hmm. And we all are seeking to do that which is good for us. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, I think that's true, but and that still runs very much contrary to what they are doing here, because they began to realize that what these worldly possessions are that they have, what is that in comparison to what God has given them now? And so now I really believe they started looking at their possessions a whole lot differently now, because now they see that as a blessing from God to be shared with one another and to to give to one another as they have need. They understood their need was deep, spiritually speaking, that they needed this salvation that Christ Jesus brought to them, and so they want to share the wealth that they have, both physically and spiritually, with one another. So I don't know if that
Socialism can only work well when you have a small group that believes the same kinds of things, and that's why it would work for them, but it won't work for a country. That's why I think capitalism has got to be the system that will work for a country. Mm-hmm. Socialism won't.
And if you notice, I don't see anywhere in here that you have a Jewish tax collector or a Roman centurion at spear point compelling this behavior. There's a volunteerism here.
Yeah.
I guess, Pastor, would you say in response to this message they received from the apostles?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That's what we're talking about here.
Yep.
You know, it's the whole context of the fact that their lives have been changed collectively together. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great rest of the day. You can join us. We've got a few minutes left as we finish up the Book of Acts, Chapter 2, here on this Thursday, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, you mentioned the Arthur Just book. Dr. Just talks about not just liturgy, but worship, and especially the breaking of bread being a public thing. Why do we do these things in view of the public? Why don't we do these in secret ceremonies like other certain churches do, where nobody gets to go inside and see what's going on?
So you're talking about the breaking of bread in connection with the Holy Supper?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been, you know, talk about what does the breaking of bread actually mean here in these verses. We see it as all part of an act of worship, so we do understand that the breaking of bread is this fellowship around the Holy Supper. Because the Holy Supper, or the Lord's Supper, is that which is to be given to all people. It's for all people. And then, of course, there are parameters that end up surrounding that, because not all people believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, if you go up to the communion rail and you don't believe, you're still having the gifts offered to you, but you're not actually receiving the benefits of those gifts. And so then another part of our fellowship is that we need to truly be faithful to all that is connected with the Word, with Christ, and Christ as the Word. You know, we want to make sure that that we truly do believe and confess that all of God's Word is truth that's pointing us to the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. Not just that we all believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and that His true body and blood are present there in this meal, but that we actually believe as Christ would have us believe together according to His Word. So, you know, things that I do here at the worship service, I know that we do not fully agree. For example, we're not in full fellowship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So if somebody comes to my congregation and they ask if they can commune, first of all, I ask them if they're ELCA by choice, because in some parts of the country you can't. There's just no Missouri Synod churches available close by. And then I just ask the questions. I just ask several questions. I said, we base our fellowship on agreeing about all the teachings within the Scripture, and I said, here's several that we're having some real controversy with the ELCA, and maybe you're having that struggle within your own church as well. And then I just tell them what those differences are, and I ask, do you believe that? You know, and if they say yes or no, generally it's different than what I believe, and that's the way I share with them. Then I say, so then we don't believe the same. And so fellowship based upon that we believe the same is very important, because it's the thing that Paul continued to push among all the churches, and you can see that in his letters. Anybody that reads Paul's letters, you can't miss that.
Pastor Curtis Dieterding serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Marilyn is on the line. Let's bring Marilyn in real quick. Marilyn, we only have about 30 seconds. Can you be real fast for us?
Okay, very quickly. I just want to, I'm not exactly quoting, but pretty much, the poor will always be among us, and then the other to whom much has been given, much is expected. And I'll let it go at that. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Marilyn. Good to hear from you. Pastor Dieterding, thanks for your time. This is a good lesson. You know, not easy stuff today because it goes right to where our culture is. And you did a great job. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for that.
And it's always a joy. God bless.
All the best. All right, coming up next, it's Ask the Pastor. Yeah, I got a question for you. Do unbaptized babies go to heaven? It's in the news again. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.